story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. So I know it will be a blessing to all of us. But tonight we focus on the first 16 verses, just prior to them getting to where Lazarus was. So verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. So walk in the day. Walk in the day. Let's pray. Lord, use your word now to teach us and to speak to each of our hearts personally. We thank you for the amazing story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead and how it means so much to us personally, Lord. And as we work our way into that, we just pray you'll really teach us tonight about how important it is that we walk in the light. And so please have your will and way in each of our hearts. Be glorified in this service, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So it's a blessing that Jesus had these special friends, Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And we'll see that special relationship later on in the chapter. But before they get there, Jesus is going to teach his disciples some more lessons. He did that a lot, didn't he? Remember, a big part of his ministry during his 3.5 years of ministry was basically Bible college for the 12 disciples, basically teaching them how to serve the Lord, how to be a church leader after Christ left. And this is no exception as he teaches them about walking in the day. Verse 9, if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. And so he's talking about spiritual things, but using earthly things that we can relate to. So it's almost like a parable. But he's emphasizing the importance that we need to walk in the day. Now, we were told back in chapter 8, where Jesus said in verse 12, I am the light of the world, remember? And Christ said that if we follow him, we will not walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of life. So because we're followers of Jesus Christ, we have his light to guide us. Now, if you look over in chapter 12, in verse 46, he made this very clear. John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So when we were born again, praise God, we were translated from darkness to light. Hallelujah for that. And let's look at Acts 26:18 and we'll see this. Now, Acts 26 is where the Apostle Paul is recounting back where God smote him on the Damascus Road and called him into the ministry. And as Paul is recounting, look what he said that God's commission was for him in Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. That's what the gospel does. When people hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, it turns them from darkness to light. And that happened for us when we were saved. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. That's us. If we're born again, we're children of light. We are walking in the day now. We have the light of life that we received from the Lord Jesus Christ. But on a practical level, what does this mean? It means that our behavior now should be changed. Amen? That we're now to be walking as children of light. That our behavior should be a reflection of that light. You know, we're told to be transformed by the renewing of your mind in Romans 12. Let's see what the Bible says about this. So go to Ephesians chapter 4. And what we're going to see is that if we are now the children of light, which we are, God expects us to be a reflection of that. So look at Ephesians 4:1, where he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. We're now to walk worthy of our new vocation, which is to be a Christian. But look over in chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 8, where he makes it extremely clear. For ye were sometimes darkness. That was our past. Ephesians 5:8. But now are ye light in the Lord. Look at the last phrase. Walk as children of light. Our walk should be different because we are walking in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are walking in the day. We're no longer children of night. We're now children of light. And our behavior, our lives should be a reflection of that. Now look at 1 Peter 2:9. And again, we'll see how the Lord uses this great truth to teach us that our lives are different and should be. Our behavior should also be different. Notice 1 Peter 2:9. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. That's quite a list, isn't it? We're supposed to live up to all four of those things. Look what he goes on to say. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has called us out of darkness into his light. He says, now I want you to be that chosen generation, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, a peculiar people. Because you're no longer in darkness, now you're in light. And we're to walk in that light. So back to our passage in John 11. He's now going to contrast walking in the light with walking in the darkness, which is what all unsaved people are doing, but sadly some Christians go back to it as well. Verse 10, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there's no light in him. So again, he's using an earthly truth. If we're out walking in the middle of the night, we don't have a torch, we stumble because we can't see where we're walking. We can relate to that. We've all been there. We've all experienced that. He's saying this is what it is like for the unsaved. They can't see where they're going. And so they're stumbling all the time because they have no light. They have no direction. And notice in John 12, verse 35, where he brings it down to the personal level. John 12, 35 says, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Knoweth not whither he goeth. The world don't know where they're going, do they? They don't know where they should go. They don't have any direction. And they definitely don't know where they're going when they die. They don't have any of that because they're in darkness. And you and I are in the light. We're walking in the light. And that is how our lives should be, or what they should be displaying to the rest of the world, as we are now the children of light. And part of that is, if you go to Ephesians 5, is now, we looked at this Sunday in Sunday school, now we are not to have fellowship with the works of darkness. Now, it doesn't mean we shouldn't have fellowship with the people of the darkness, because we need to be witnessing to them. So they're not to be our best friends, but we are to be telling them about Jesus and loving them and trying to help them. But it's the works that we're not to have fellowship with. Look at it, Ephesians 5:11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The world lives in darkness. They walk in darkness. And their works are the works of darkness. God says, have no fellowship with those unfruitful works. So we're not to be fellowshipping with the works of darkness, but we are to be witnessing to the people of darkness with the gospel of Jesus Christ, so they also can be rescued from that darkness into, as we saw 1 Peter 2:9, his marvelous light. Hallelujah. We are now in the light. So, great lesson he taught his disciples here about walking in the night versus walking in the day. Back to our passage. Then he has to teach them another lesson about how believers never die. And we'll see more of this next week. But he says in verse 11, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Now, if they understood that believers never die, then they would have known what he was saying. And whenever God is talking about Christians who have died, he uses the word sleep. Why is that? It's because we don't die. Our bodies just go to sleep. We change locations, but we don't die. And so he was saying of Lazarus, Lazarus isn't dead, because in God's program, what does dead mean? Dead means unsaved. Dead means separated from life, separated from God. Dead means if you don't get saved, you'll spend eternity dead. Death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. I'll give you a couple examples. 1 Corinthians 11 is one of them, which we look at quite often. We take the Lord's Supper together. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30, Paul here is writing to Christians who had abused the Lord's Supper and required chastisement from the Lord. And look what he says. Verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That's not saying they're taking a nap. He's saying that God killed some of the Corinthian Christians for their abuse of the Lord's Supper. And of course, a very well-known passage, 1 Thessalonians 4, let's turn over there. One of our passages about the rapture. The Bible tells us that when Jesus returns to take us, that he's going to bring those who have died in Christ with him. Notice 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are, what? Asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So there it is again. He's using the word sleep to refer to Christians that have died, and saying that the Christians who sleep in Jesus are actually returning with Jesus to the clouds when he takes us to glory. Because in this passage, he doesn't come to the earth. If you go on down, we see that. Verse 17, we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we're meeting the Lord in the air. He doesn't come to the earth until Revelation chapter 19, after the tribulation. So he's teaching his disciples yet another lesson. One lesson is, you're now my children. I'm the light of the world. I've given you my light. That light can guide you. And that light should change you. It should change your behavior and it should give you direction. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so Jesus now has given us his light. So we know the way to go. We know where we're going. And our behavior is different. We no longer act like children of darkness. So he's teaching, he's taking an earthly, easy, simple to understand truth about walking in darkness versus walking in light, teaches us about the spiritual truth, about our having the light of the world. Then he takes us another lesson that people who die in Christ never die. Praise God. That's encouraging for us. And we'll focus on that next week, but just to give you a preview, look at verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall what? never die. I love those two words. Never die. If you're a born-again Christian, you never die. But the disciples obviously weren't understanding the lesson, so Jesus had to say to them in verse 14 of our passage, plainly, Lazarus is dead. I wasn't saying he was taking a nap. I was saying that he is dead physically. And he said, and I'm glad. Why would Jesus be glad that Lazarus is dead? Well, I'm glad because I'm going to get to teach you yet another lesson, that I have the power to bring the dead back to life. Nobody else has that power to just speak and say, Lazarus, come forth, like he will do next week. So now I'm going to teach you yet another lesson at the grave of Lazarus. And Thomas, trying to be a bit of a smart mouth, let's go die with him. Because he thinks, oh, okay, now he's speaking spiritual stuff. He wasn't before. They were talking about taking a nap. But now he says Lazarus is dead. Let's go die with him. Yeah. But I don't think that's what they were after, is to go die with Lazarus. But they'll understand when they get to the tomb. Amen? They'll see what Jesus was saying, why he was glad that Lazarus had died. And he tarried, as we saw, 2 days on purpose, so that Lazarus would die. And then, of course, with the travel time, by the time he gets to the tomb, he'd been 3 days and three nights dead, physically dead. But we're giving too many things away for next week. Anyway, we are children of light. We are to walk in the day. Amen? We're to walk as children of light. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Use it